This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Not even a month into the official summer season, you may already be approaching capacity on burgers and dogs hot off the grill. So here to inject some new life into the outdoor cooking season is J.M. Hirsch, food editor for the Associated Press and author of Beating the Lunchbox Blues. Always good to see you, J.M.
Thank you for having me back.
There are so many food trends. You know, there's so many gadgets we hear about that are real game changers, like the Vitamix comes to mind.
I love
Everyone's
my Vitamix.
Got
yes.
the Vitamix. But grilling, pretty much heat plus meat equals dinner, right?
You know, the technology itself has not changed a whole lot. You can certainly spend a lot on some phenomenal grills out there. And a lot of people think, you know, the real debate is charcoal versus gas, and it's really a matter of convenience. But the real thing you need to understand is it doesn't matter what fuel source you use when you're grilling. What matters is how you use the heat you create.
Do you put the meat on?
You put the meat on. Okay, but here's the thing. It's where you put your meat, so to speak.
Okay.
All right, because you're going to have direct heat and you're going to have indirect heat. And direct heat is when you put your food that you're cooking directly over the heat source. Okay. Now, if you've got a gas grill, that means you're right over the flame.
On the burners, right.
Yep.
Right.
If you've got a charcoal grill, that means you're right over the hot coals. Now, indirect heat is when you put the food over the cooler part of the grill. Now, to create a cooler part of the grill, you're going to either, if you've got gas, you're going to turn off one of the burners or two of the burners, depending on the configuration you've got. If you've got a charcoal grill, you're going to bank the hot coals to one side and then put the food on the opposite side.
All right. So how do you decide which gets direct heat, which gets indirect heat?
Well, it kind of depends on what you're looking for. Like if you've got a really thick steak that you're doing, you're going to want to start with direct heat because you want to get that nice sear on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But then you want to move it over to the indirect side so that you can slowly cook it to the degree of doneness that you want. And, you know, I'll tell you, my favorite meat to grill at the moment is one that you got to be really careful with, though, is bison. I'm a huge fan of bison, which you can get at every grocery store now. You can get it locally. And it's an ultra lean, really flavorful meat that tastes much like beef, but like a pure beef.
Mm-hmm. And you eat it ground or?
Oh, you can get bison steaks. You can get bison tenderloins. I throw them on the grill all the time. But the trick is, because it's so lean, you don't want to cook it, you know, too long. Throw it on, get a good sear on both sides and get it off.
Well, now that people are shifting to more meat, less meat-centric diets, what else do you imagine putting on the grill?
We can go in so many different directions here. Okay, let's start with veggies, all right? Last year, the hip thing to grill was cauliflower steaks. All right.
Well, I guess I missed that memo.
All right, so you take your head of cauliflower, right, and you carefully slice it into slabs, like
how
at least
thick?
An inch and a half thick. And you want to keep those slabs intact. You don't want the florets falling off.
Right.
Cut them, then you season them or marinate them, do whatever you want, and then you sear them on the grill. And again, this is where you would want to use indirect heat because you want to cook it nice and slow until it's tender. You don't want to burn the outside. And it's delicious. It's beautiful. It's a trend that started in restaurants, and last year people started doing it at home. But this year I took it a little step in the new direction where I was grilling whole heads of cauliflower. All right, so you take your whole head, right? You peel off all the leaves and all that junk. And then you overturn it into a bowl and you season it however you like with some oil, some seasoning, some spices. I like to throw in a little bit of egg white and some almond flour to give it a nice crisp coating.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then you turn it back over, throw it on a sheet of foil, and you're going to slowly cook it over indirect heat, probably 45 minutes to an hour. And then you present it in the center of your table and you slice it like a cake.
Oh,
it is amazing.
Goodness.
Yes,
sounds
it's
great.
Delicious.
Okay, so we'll make sure to have the recipes for these on our website, wordofmouthradio.org. While I'm catching up on last year.
Well, okay. Now, this one is not new. It's going to take you back about 5 or 10 years, actually, in terms of hipness. But salad.
Okay, grilled salad.
Yeah, you take a heart of romaine, you slice it in half down the center, you throw it on the grill for about 30 seconds to a minute, you take it off, and then you turn it into, you know, Caesar salad, throw some blue cheese on there, whatever you like. You can, however, also go in a different direction, throw some on-the-vine tomatoes on the grill. Okay?
Right on the vine.
You know those little clusters you
indirect
get?
Indirect heat?
I would actually go for direct heat. Okay, rub them with a little bit of olive oil, throw some, you know, some crunchy salt on there, a little bit of pepper, throw them on the grill just until they start to burst and crack and brown a little bit. Then you're going to throw them on a plate with some cheese and maybe some bread, just sop up all the juices and all that.
If you're just joining us, I'm discussing unexpected grill foods with J.M. Hirsch. He's food editor for the Associated Press. Now, before this interview, we asked you about some of the weirdest foods you'd ever cooked on the grill. Emily said she'd had iceberg lettuce.
Okay.
Yeah. Rebecca shared a recipe for grilled romaine salad with blue cheese.
There we go.
And Kevin posted that he once grilled a wasp's nest, although not on purpose.
Oh, I've done that one before. Yeah. I don't recommend eating it, although I guess if you're going to, barbecue sauce might be good, but I don't know.
All right. What else have you got?
All right.
You know, if you had dinner, could we go for something like dessert?
Oh, sure. Sure. You know, that's where a lot of fruit comes in because you can throw some pineapple rings on the grill. And if you chop those up after they've caramelized a little bit, throw those on an ice cream sundae.
All right. Again, direct, indirect?
I would do direct for that. You know, short term, maybe 1 to 2 minutes, just enough to get a little bit of sear. I've also tried, and this is going to perhaps wig a few people out, but I like it. I call it my Elvis, all right? So take a banana, peel it, wrap it in prosciutto. Throw it on the grill until the prosciutto gets nice and crisp and seared, and then dunk that in chocolate sauce. I know.
Okay.
I know.
This is a side of you we didn't know before.
Enjoy it in your jungle room. Yes.
So what other desserty treats can you share with us?
Okay, well, I don't know if this counts as a dessert, but if you're going to be doing any drinking, throw some more fruit on the grill because it's going to be awfully yummy in your sangria.
Really? Having that kind of chocolate?
Oh, it's delicious. All right, so slice up some peaches, maybe throw some raspberries or strawberries on skewers, okay, and throw those on the grill. You're not going to do it too long, just enough to give them a little bit of sear, then let them cool, throw them into whatever sangria you want to make. I mean, the easiest is red wine, white wine, rum, and sugar, okay? And throw in your grilled fruit and let that sit for a while. That's going to be awesome.
That's pretty much anything that you can put in your mouth, you can put on a grill.
Pretty much.
And any exceptions come up for you?
Not that I can think of. I mean, you know, you can even grill cheese if you get the right cheese. There's a Greek cheese called halloumi, and it's actually called the grilling cheese because it has a really high melt point. So you can actually – it looks like feta, and it does taste similar to feta. You slice it into slabs and throw it directly on the grill. You can also sear it in a pan, and it won't melt. It will soften ever so slightly and get nice and warm. Mm-hmm. It is so delicious in a sandwich. Maybe some tomatoes, some fresh oregano. You can do bread. You know, you can obviously –
I had grilled bread. That's nice.
Yeah. You know, if you're doing some crostini or something that tastes really good to olive oil on it and then throw that on the grill for a minute. But you can also make a boat. So take your baguette, right, and slice it in half and hollow it out and, you know, just scoop out all the yummy part and just eat that. Then you're going to take some loose sausage and some chopped up sun-dried tomatoes, get the oil-packed type, and some cheese, whatever you want, maybe some Parmesan or something like that. Mush that all together and then just jam that in your hollowed out baguette. Okay, wrap the baguette in foil, throw that on the grill for a while. And then you can slice it into slabs. Oh, that would be really
Do you ever cook inside during the summer?
You know what? I almost never do. Breakfast. You know, I make breakfast inside. But, you know, in the summer, it's just we belong outside. In New Hampshire, it's just too short a season. We need to be outside.
What's the wackiest thing you've ever grilled, do you think?
The wack? You mean other than a whole head of cauliflower?
Well, you know, that's pretty – that was 5 minutes ago.
And you mean my prosciutto-wrapped banana doesn't qualify? You know, I've seen people grill ice cream. It didn't work for me.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Any tips for breathing new life into your typical grill foods, the, you know, new twist on hot dog or a burger or kebab?
Oh, you know, I'm a big believer in marination and giving a lot of flavor to things long before it ever gets to the grill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So like a basic hamburger, for example. You know, this past weekend, I took steak tips, you know, sirloin steak tips, and I cut them up into like 1-inch cubes. And I threw them in the freezer for about 20 minutes. Then I threw them in the food processor and chopped them. Notice I used the word chopped, not ground.
Right.
Okay, because that's the problem with most burgers. They're made from ground meat, which has just been pulverized, manipulated, and it's all tough and yucky. Mm-hmm. If you really want an awesome burger, you want to chop it in your food processor. You don't need any fancy equipment. Just chop it until it's like got a coarse texture. Then I mixed into it fish sauce. Don't worry, your burger's not going to taste like fish. And so you're going to mix that in and then some grated Parmesan. And again, you're not creating a cheeseburger. The Parmesan itself will melt away into the meat. And it's not going to have an overtly cheesy flavor, but it's going to have this super savory, beefy, steaky goodness that is just going to be amazing. I made them for the 4th of July, and they were outstanding.
You know, that's all-American innovation, if
you
ask me.
There we go.
J.M. Hirsch, food editor for the Associated Press, author of Beating the Lunchbox Blues. You can follow your nose to find him to his grill. You can also find some of the recipes that we mentioned here at wordofmouthradio.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Always enlightening. And don't forget, you can share your own grilling adventures on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouthradio.